Very good. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. We'll use every minute we can get. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I was thinking last night in Proverbs, it says something about a bird flying from its nest. Well, I seem to be flying around too from my nest, Wallenstein, but every now and then I come back to my nest, so that's good. Genesis chapter 17, we're in a series discovering God together, and we want to get an intimate knowledge of God. And this morning we're going to talk about God Almighty. I'll come back to that in just a moment. The God of the impossible, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of Genesis 17. And I'm using the NIV, the Pew Bible, so that's easy for you to follow. Page 11, for all those young people who don't know where to find it. By the way, I always ask for the pulpit because it makes me feel safer. I always sort of afraid that while I preach, I might step on somebody's toes, like Ken, for example, and he might just come after me so I can hide under the pulpit. Now, I mentioned that to him this morning before the service. He says, well, that pulpit won't stop me. So this is no good. But anyway, I trust the Lord. Genesis 17, verse 1. But Abram was 99 years old. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Let's pray together first, okay? Father, we are so thankful that we can be in this place, that we live in a country with freedom and privileges, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we may listen to your voice again this morning. We thank you that you have given us your word to reveal yourself unto us, and we do pray, Father, that you will truly touch us this morning. You know each of us, you know what's going on in our lives, and we want to open our hearts to you so that you might be able to work in us with your spirit. So guide and direct us. We trust you for much blessing because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This morning we're talking about, just back to last week. If you were here last week, Dale Ward was here and he talked about in the beginning God. And then he talked about today, it's more in the beginning me and how true that is. And I have to agree, yeah, that is really true. A couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, Ron gave us a real good introduction to this whole series. But 3 weeks ago, Bill Meerstra was here and he talked about idols. And I was at the first meeting. I couldn't come to the other two, but I listened to the messages at home and they were very good. But as I was here for the first meeting and I was thinking about idols, I thought, well, my car isn't my idol. My apartment isn't my idol. My wife, even though I love her dearly, isn't my idol. My children aren't my idols. My work, But ultimately came down to it, and I know, myself is my idol. That's why sometimes I have problems witnessing to people, because I'm afraid of what they're going to think of me. I'm afraid that idol is going to get hurt, and humiliated or something like that, So that was very good. In the beginning, God, that's where everything should start. But today, in the world around us, it's me. Everything starts with me. Today, in the beginning, I'm going back. Wrong button. So, discovering God together, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, we know better. Now, I wrote down, shut up to Revelation, and I'll tell you what I mean. We know that there is a God. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, we're not going to go into that. I wish I could, because I just love that. And as Dale Ward mentioned last Sunday, the more scientists discover, the more they have to come to the conclusion there has to be a greater power, because it's impossible that everything that is so complicated and you name it, came into being by itself. That it's just impossible. Yeah. So, but the thing is, we don't know how God is. We know there must be a God or gods or something, but how he is, even Jesus said that. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten of the Father, he has revealed him. And so we are totally shut up to revelation. If God does not reveal himself in some way to us, we can't know him. Yeah, you can give your thoughts about God. I can give my thoughts about God, but we have never seen God. So we don't know. So we are really shut up to revelation. Yeah. Has God revealed himself? Of course, the answer is yes. And we talk about general revelation, creation and conscience of God's laws written in our hearts. That's the general revelation of the existence of God. But then there's also the specific revelation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has seen me has seen the Father, and Scripture, of course, God's Word. Those are the two specific revelations that God has given. And the majority of the population of the world does not have these two specific revelations. They have the first two. They know, looking at creation, there must be a God. And most people in the world believe in God or gods. And they have the laws of God written in their hearts. Everyone on earth knows that murder is wrong. We know that. That's written on our hearts. But for the rest, they don't know much about God. They can see that God must be great and mighty when you look at creation. But for the rest, they don't know. And so God has given us his word, and God has given us his son. God has given us a revelation of himself black and white in the Bible, but God has also given a revelation of himself in a living person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are tremendously privileged to know about Jesus and to know Jesus and to know the Word of God. And of course, this morning we're talking about the Word of God, and this whole series is about how God reveals himself in Scripture. And there's several ways. He reveals himself through direct statements. For example, he says, I am a God of justice. I'm a God of compassion. That's one way that he reveals himself. Secondly, he reveals himself through his works, through creation, and so on. Thirdly, he reveals himself through his dealings with his people. Last year, we had a study with a small group of seniors, and we went through some of the minor prophets, and we're just shocked, and it was just unbelievable to read about how the Jews had treated God and turned away from God, and how God lovingly disciplines him and draws him back again and again. It's really wonderful to see that. Yeah. Then he reveals himself through his names, and the names of God are very special. Here are the three main names. It's Elohim, that's God, Adonai, that's Lord, and Yahweh, or Jehovah, as is said today, that's Lord with capital letters. And then there are compound names of God, and that's what we're going to, one of those we're taking this morning. There's El Elyon, that's God the Most High, or the Most High God. Then there is El Shaddai, God the Almighty, or the Almighty God. And there is El Olam, God the Everlasting, or the Everlasting God. And it's the second one that we're dealing with this morning. And every Sunday, pretty well, one of these names will come up, or some other name. Now, the all-powerful God, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God. And just come with me for a moment to Isaiah chapter 40. We want to read a few verses there just to see something about God and his power and might. It's just beautiful. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll start reading in verse 12. It's on page 512 in the Pew Bible. And I'll start at verse 12, and it says, or God says, or Isaiah writes, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? You know, you just see God sitting there with one of those little weigh scales, and he's weighing the Rocky Mountains and so on. Unbelievable. And then verse 15, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. The British would like that if you read that to them, that their island of which they are so proud to God, he just weighs it, you know, it's just a little thing. And verse 17, before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? Verse 22, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings the princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Well, that says something about his power, his greatness, his might. And especially when he says there in verse 22, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, in the eyes of God, you are like a little grasshopper. Sorry, I'm not saying that God says that. That's the way he looks at us. Any one of you who has been in a plane and flown over Toronto or New York or whatever, and you look down, these huge trucks and trailers, they look like little toys on the ground. And the people that are walking there, you can barely see them. I often think of New York. I've been in New York several times and flown over it and different other capital cities. And you know, they're like little ant hills. And all these little ants running around. God says, well, you are like grasshoppers. So that should put us down a little bit, you know. We put up our chest and we think we're really something. God says, yeah, you're just a little grasshopper. And the one grasshopper jumps a little higher or a little further than the other, but we're all just grasshoppers in his sight. So keep that in mind, okay? He is the all-powerful God. He is the God of infinite power. And he is the God of the impossible. And actually, that is the story woven right through the Bible. The God of the impossible. And in a moment, we'll see in regards to Abraham, but later on too, as far as the Jews are concerned, when they come out of Egypt and travel through the wilderness, humanly speaking, that was impossible. To go through the wilderness with that many people and have food and have water and stuff, humanly speaking, that is impossible. The whole story is impossible. Yeah. And when we come to the New Testament and we see what Jesus does, raising people from the dead, that's impossible. He himself rose from the dead. That's impossible. God is the God of the impossible. That's the message of the Bible, and that's very comforting. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, why is God saying to Abraham, I'm El Shaddai, I am God Almighty or the Almighty God? Why is he saying that? Because I've named this some ridiculous statements. And I'm, again, speaking from a human standpoint. I'll be a little bit cynical maybe, but there are a number of statements, about five or six, which are really, actually ridiculous. Yeah. And if you, well, I got them on here, so you don't have to follow your Bible because we'll come back to it in just a moment. But first of all, it says that Abraham will be a father of many nations. Come on, he's 100 years old. He's got one child by a slave. That's all. And he's going to be the father of many nations. Lord, don't be kidding. Don't be. Anyway, number two, Abraham, is the word Abraham means high father or exalted father. That must have been quite embarrassing for Abraham to have that name, seeing that for years he was 86 when he had Ishmael by this slave girl, which he sent away later on. And here he is called the high father, the exalted father. Must have been very embarrassing, especially in those days when children were so important. Not only that, but he's called Abraham later on. His name is changed. We'll see that in a moment too. And now he's called the father of a multitude. And a multitude of nations. Come on, God. Sorry, don't be so ridiculous. Yeah, the man has got one kid by a slave. And he sends her away. And he's going to be the father of a multitude? It's impossible. Not only that, kings will come from you. Sure. And Sarai, and or later called Sarah, will bear a son. Now, Lord, now you're going a little bit too far. She's 90 years old. Her womb is dried up. She can't have kids anymore. This is impossible. You see? And statement after statement, she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. 90 years old. Impossible to have children. What a stupid statement. You see? And then the last one, Ishmael, he's going to be the father of 12 rulers, and I'll make him a great nation. Ishmael, if you read in Genesis, you'll find that Abraham, because trouble starts up between Sarah and Hagar, and Abraham finally listens to his wife and sends Hagar away with Ishmael, and all he gives her is a bag of water. Nothing else. I've often wondered about it. How come he didn't give her a bag of money or something? But of course, that was very dangerous for a woman alone to go through the wilderness with a bag of money. She'd be robbed in no time at all. And so he must have just, yeah, the Lord told him to do this, and he must have trusted the Lord to look after her. But to send a woman with a 14-year-old son into the wilderness with just a bag of water, which is soon empty, and then they sit there, you have to do that. And then to say, for God to say, Ishmael is going to be a father of 12 rulers, and he's going to be a great nation, Sounds a bit ridiculous to me. These are all impossible things, really, humanly speaking. So, God's plans. Now we come to chapter 17. 16 times God says, I will. And by the way, people, I want you to realize the difference between Abraham and Adam. Yeah, just keep that in mind. I will come back to that. But the difference between Abraham and Adam, or Adam and Abraham. 16 times in those 22 verses, not the whole chapter, but 22 verses, 16 times God says, I will. And he starts in chapter 17, verse 1. Look at it. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, or I am the Almighty God. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. And some have said it can also be translated, walk before me faithfully and you shall be blameless. And blameless does not mean perfect. Yeah, it's in the New Testament too that elders are to be blameless. That doesn't mean they're perfect, far from it. But it means that they walk in integrity. Yeah. Or the word blameless can also be translated in whole. God wanted the whole of Abraham. Then I will, there's the first I will. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I, the I is left out but implied, and I will greatly increase your numbers. It's very, very interesting. Now, in the next verse, it says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me. And four times we will find that phrase, as for. And notice what it says. Very interesting. First he says, as for me. God is talking about himself. As for me. What will God do? This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham, which is means high or exalted father. Your name will be Abraham, which means the father of a multitude or a multitude of nations. For I've made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. And then God doesn't ask Abraham anything. God tells him what he's going to do. I will. I will. I will. I will. You walk before me, Abraham. And actually, we could put it in a different way too. Abraham, you obey me. You see, that's the contrast with Adam in the garden. God, Adam didn't obey. And the earth was cursed. And now God says to Abraham, Abraham, you obey me. You walk before me. And boy, we're going to see things happen. I'm going to do things, Abraham. You walk before me. You obey me. And you're going to see things happening and the things he mentions here. Then in verse 9, he says, then God said to Abraham, as for you. So first he talks about, as for me, what I will do. And it's, I will, I will, I will, I will. And the God of the impossible says how these impossible things will come true. Yeah, and now, of course, people don't forget, for Abraham, this was brand new, eh? And to him, how are these things possible? For us, it's not so new anymore because we know what happened. And we know how God kept his promises. And we know how Abraham became a father of many nations and of many people, not just of the Jewish people. Abraham is my father too. And if you are a true born-again Christian, Abraham is your spiritual father too. Yeah, and in that sense, he's the father of many nations. So we are witnesses of the fact that all these things that God said to Abraham, I will, I will, I will, I will, they happened. Yeah, the God of the impossible made the things that seemed impossible, that are impossible for human beings, he made them come true. So as for me, I will. But then in verse 9, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant. And there comes the obedience. Yeah, you must keep my covenant. There comes the obedience. You and your descendants after you for generations to come. Adam didn't keep the covenant. God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. They didn't keep it. And you know what happened. As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me. Now, circumcision is very painful. Yeah. And don't forget, It was only the boys, the males, that were circumcised. Today, every year, more this year, 30 million teenage girls, 11, 12, 13 years old, will be circumcised. It's what they do in Africa and some parts of Asia. Horrible. Yeah, and that's nothing to do with anything. Yeah. But anyway, circumcision is painful. And circumcision in the Bible speaks of the cutting away of the flesh, of self. And conversion, becoming a Christian, in a sense, is painful because you have to get rid of self. You have to admit that you're sinful. You have to surrender to God. You have to be willing to let self go and give Jesus first place. You see, you have to go back to what we started with and what Dale talked about last week. In the beginning, God. Now, human beings live in the beginning, me. And conversion means that that is turned around. It's no longer me. Not I, but Christ lives in me. Yeah. So circumcision is painful. Conversion, in a sense, is painful. Because you have to give up the throne. And that's why I believe, but that's the truth. That's why I believe that especially young people who've grown up in Christian homes, it's difficult for them. But many of them have accepted the Lord Jesus into their hearts, but I'm not so sure whether they've really surrendered the throne of their lives to God. Whether they've surrendered self to God. Yeah, we are willing to give our little hearts to God, but God wants the whole thing. Walk before me blameless. I want you totally, Abraham. I want the whole thing. Yeah, and circumcision is a picture thereof. And then verse 15. So God says, as for me, I will. Don't worry. Secondly, in verse 9, as for you, Abraham, keep my covenant, be obedient. And then in verse 15, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai. See, as for me, as for you, Abraham. Now, as for Sarai, your wife. You are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. And there's difference of opinion on what those names actually mean. In fact, I read a Hebrew commentary, and they say there's really no difference. But others say that Sarai means princess, but just one princess, yeah, the wife of a husband, while Sarah means, in a sense, princess of princesses, the mother of princesses, much higher. Yeah. And then look what he says again. Her name shall be Sarah. I will, there we get the I wills again. I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. There you have that impossible thing, that ridiculous statement that I read. Yeah, Sarah, 90 years old, she's going to have a baby. Come on, Lord, don't be silly. But God says, yes, I will. I will bless her. I will surely, yeah, he puts that in there. I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations and kings of people will come from her. Wow! That's what's going to happen to this old lady. And then it says in verse 17, Abram fell face down, he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Abraham laughed. That's often the way we react too. When we hear something ridiculous, we sort of laugh. You know. And there's difference of opinion again. What that laugh was. Was it the laugh of joy? Or was it a sort of a cynical, oh, come on, God. It can't be possible. And I think the second is more reasonable. Yeah, he laughed. To himself, eh? He didn't laugh in God's face. He laughed to himself. Will a son be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Humanly speaking, this is impossible. But this is the God of the impossible. He is speaking. And again, for those people, for Abraham, then this must have, you know, sounded so totally ridiculous. For us today, it isn't so much that way because we know what happens. This really came true. Sarah did have a son at age 90 or 91. Unbelievable, but it's true. God is the God of the impossible. And I can understand so well that Abraham laughed. Now look at verse 19. Then God said, Abraham says in the last part of verse 18, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear a son. That seems a little bit contradictory. Abraham says, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And then God said, yes. But in a sense, it was no. Now, Ishmael wasn't going to live under his blessing. Isaac was going to be born. I think the yes means what Abraham said. If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And God says, yes, he will live under my blessing. I'll come to that in a moment. But your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. And that means laughter, or he laughs. And I think that is so cute, you know. God names the boy. Doesn't leave it up to Abraham and Sarah to name the boy. God names the boy. Yeah, he did that with John the Baptist. He did that with Jesus. And here too, God names the boy and calls him Laughter. Now who laughed? Well, God knew that Abraham laughed, even though he didn't laugh in his face. Abraham laughed in himself, to himself, but he laughed. In the next chapter, you will find that God comes back to Abraham and to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then God again talks about this, that Sarah is going to have a son, and Sarah is in her tent and she hears this and she laughs. So Abraham laughs and Sarah laughs, and I think God laughed. And I think God said, you just wait, you two old fogies. I'm going to show you something. Ha ha! I think God laughed. And so God said, call that fellow Isaac. Laughter. Yeah, I want the rest of the world to know what we've been laughing at. You've been laughing, your wife has been laughing, and God says, I've been laughing too. Let's call the kid Isaac. Laughter. And all his life, Isaac, laughter. All his life, he was reminded of the fact that his father laughed, his mother laughed, impossible, and God laughed. And all his life, he carried that name, laughter. Laughter. Every time they called Isaac, they called laughter. Oh, I think that's cute. I think God's got a lot of humor. I've told you before, if you don't believe me, just look in the mirror. Yeah, so, verse 19 again. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. And then again, the I will. You notice it? I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And now the fourth one. That said, God says, as for me, I will do this. As for you, Abraham, you need to be obedient. As for Sarah, I will do this to her. And now, as for Ishmael. You notice that, verse 20? And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, Abraham. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful. And I will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers. And I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. I love that. Now, God says, as for me, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. The word bless isn't mentioned in verses 3 to 8, but the whole passage speaks of blessing. I will bless you, and you will become the father of a multitude, and the father of many nations, and the father of kings. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. And then in verse 15, I'm going to bless Sarah. I'm going to bless her. And then in verse 19 or verse 20, Ishmael, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him. Anyway, compared to Adam, God cursed because they were disobedient, because they turned away. God cursed. Cursed them and cursed the world. But now he blesses. God desires to bless and to turn a cursed world into a blessing. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. But then verse 23, and I'm not going to read all that, but just the first phrase, verse 23, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God had told him. On that very day, immediate obedience. Wow! Immediate obedience. Abraham doesn't waste any time, even though nothing has happened yet. He's just going by faith. He's taking God at his words. He's done that before in chapter 15, when God takes Abraham outside and shows him the stars and says, that's the way your descendants are going to be. That kind of a multitude. And then it says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so Abraham had believed God once, and here he believes God again. It sounds ridiculous, but by now he seems to know God a little bit. And I like that. On that very day, the same later on in chapter 22, when God says, Abraham, I want you to go and offer your son, your only son. By the way, your only son. God doesn't recognize Ishmael. And since the birth of Ishmael, 13 years, God has not spoken a word to Abraham. When we do things in the flesh, God has nothing to say to us. Yeah. And on that very day, in chapter 22, when God says, go and offer your son, right away, early in the morning, it says, early the next morning, Abram got up and went. Immediate obedience. How we need that today. Radical obedience. We want blessing. We want to be blessed. Immediate obedience. Radical obedience. Yeah. Now, let's go on because our time flies again. I will bless. And by the way, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that the greatest thing in life, to be blessed by the Lord God? I know. I've been a Christian 53 years now. And I've been blessed through my life. Oh, I have had curses too because I've been disobedient. But I've seen so much blessing. Yeah. And there is no greater thing in life. There's no greater sense of fulfillment. There is no greater joy in life than to experience the blessing of the Lord. Yeah. Now, man's requirement is obedience. And we all want freedom. But freedom is obeying God. See, that was the problem with Adam and Eve. They wanted freedom. God says, you know, you can do anything. Except one thing, you've got to be under my authority. And man says, no way. Adam and Eve said, no way. We want to be free. We want to do our own thing. And that's exactly what's going on today in the world. That's why I came to Canada, away from my parents. I wanted to be free. I wanted to do my own thing. That's in the human heart. Yeah, we want freedom. But true freedom. Did Adam and Eve get true freedom? No way. The exact opposite. True freedom means obeying God. And Jesus says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hey, let me use a stupid illustration. See, I'm a sort of a simple person. I need simple illustrations. Hey, and let's say you have a nice radio here with batteries in it, but also with a cord into the socket in the wall. And the radio plays. And let's say the radio is an independent being. Let's just put it that way for the time being. And it says, I don't want to be connected to that socket. I want to be independent. I want to be free. And so it pulls out the cord. What happens? Well, the radio keeps playing as long as the batteries last. And then it goes dead. And Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden pulled the plug. And they carried on for some time and they died. You see, we need to be connected with the source of life. And because man is disconnected with the source of life, the socket, excuse me, Lord, that's God. He's the source of life. But if we pull out the cord, and that's the way every one of us is born into this world, the cord is pulled out. We have batteries in us. We can live for 60, 70, 80 years, and then we'll die. But if we plug back into God, if we accept the Lord Jesus, oh yes, our bodies are still going to die, but we have eternal life. It's wonderful. So, we want freedom. True freedom is in obeying God. I'm glad I had to study this more. It really touched me again this week. And I talked to myself. I read a statement the other day on Facebook. Don't listen to your heart. Talk to your heart. And how true that is. Don't listen to your feelings. Talk to your feelings. David did that. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Don't listen to your soul. Talk to your soul. Yeah. And I talked to myself again this week. And I told myself again, Richard, obey God. Whether you feel it or not, whether you like it, obey God. The blessing will come. And it does. You know from experience, Richard, that oh, we are such funny human beings. And my, as far as God's provisions is concerned too, we saw God provide time and again. And yet the next time we were doubting again. We are terrible people. Anyway, that's what Adam and Eve lost in Eden. They lost their freedom. They wanted freedom. They lost their freedom. Yeah. And then lastly, obedience is God's gates or opens God's gates of blessing. It's not that we earn God's blessing through obedience. It opens the gates to bless us. Yeah. Now, here we have it. As for me, God says, as for you, Abraham, as for Sarai, as for Ishmael, and then as for you. God had plans for Abraham. God had plans for Sarah. God had plans for Ishmael. As I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you, Sarah. I'm going to bless you, Ishmael. What about you and me? What's God's plan for you? What is it that I want to do here? Well, our time is almost up. So what did we discover about God this morning? Number one, we saw that He's Almighty. Let's not forget that. That's why He could say, I'm God Almighty, walk before me. I'm God, not you. I'm God. Walk before me. You want to be blessed? Walk before me. You want to go your own way? Adam's way? Look what's happened. Yeah. He's almighty. He's awesome. Yeah. He's sovereign. I will. I will. I will. I will. And when we submit to the I will, we're going to experience the blessing. He has his plans also for you and me. Don't forget that. He has a tremendous desire to bless. That God is almost running over with blessing. And he wants to pour it out to us. But we need to be obedient to be able to receive it. Yeah, to open the channels so it can come. And sixthly, obeying him brings the greatest blessing. Now, to close off, so what is it going to be? After we've heard this morning, what's it going to be? Is it going to be in the beginning the almighty and awesome God? Or is it going to be in the beginning tiny little me grasshopper? Yeah, you have a choice. What's it going to be? Does God have the preeminence? First place? Or do I have first place? Yeah. I am the God of the impossible. Adam disobeyed. And the world was cursed. And people look around you. It makes you sick what's happening in the world. All over the place. I just read yesterday what happened in that West Mall in Kenya. What they did to some of the hostages. I won't tell you because you might throw up. It is terrible. They tortured those people. I won't go into detail. A cursed world. But God is a God of the impossible, and he wants to change that curse into blessing. And he's looking for people to use so that he can bring blessing into this world. And he chose Abraham, and he wants to use you and me also. So, Adam, a world cursed. Abraham, a world blessed. What about you and me? Yeah, what comes out of our lives? Curse or blessing? It's up to us. Yeah. And then, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. And I can't emphasize this enough, especially young people. I wish I was young like you again. What a challenge. Yeah, to be a blessing in this world. You're going to have a potluck after. We can't say for several reasons, but you're going to have a potluck and there's going to be money given for lesson sharing. They've been in Spain for 40 years. And they've obeyed God. And what has happened in Spain? Blessing has come. Many, many people have become Christians and homes have been restored and marriages are restored. Blessing has come because a couple obeyed God. Yeah, we've seen blessing in Belgium and all over Europe because certain people obeyed God. Many of you have obeyed God by supporting Lesson Share and us and others. Yeah, so you want to be blessed and you want to be a blessing. That's what gives the greatest fulfillment in life, to be blessed and to pass that blessing on to others. And to be used of God to do something positive and solid and good in this sin-cursed world. So, what's it going to be? Almighty God or tiny little me? Am I going to be a source of blessing? Or am I going to be the reason for curse in the world? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chapter in the Bible. We thank you for the story of Abraham, but above all, we thank you for yourself. And Lord, we read some of these statements which seem so ridiculous. A man 100 years old having a child, a woman 90 years old, way past the age of being able to bear children, and yet you promise that she will bear a son, and she will become the mother of many nations and the mother of kings. Unbelievable, Lord. And Ishmael, who was sent out into the wilderness with nothing except a bag of water. And he becomes the father of 12 rulers and the father of a great nation. Unbelievable, impossible in human eyes. But you are the God of the impossible. And Lord, maybe there are things this morning in our lives which seem impossible. But when we follow you, when we obey you, impossible things can become possible. And we see that all through Scripture. So touch our hearts. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you for the hope you give us. And we trust you. And we want to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you real good. The music group is going to do one more song.